Welcome to the Bureau Briefing. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors. They are amazing. Thank you to MailChimp. If you need a marketing platform, MailChimp is so much more than just email. They help you with Facebook ads, with Google ads. You just got to check them out. And the way that you can slice and dice the campaigns, it's beautiful. 10,000 feet. You know, if you need insights into your projects and your people, 10,000 feet is the resourcing tool that can help you with that. And also, gather content. Content is always the thing that drags every project down. But when you use Gather Content, you can get a handle on it. And now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It is Carl, and swinging by the Bureau Studios today, we have got Marcel Petipaw. How's it going, Marcel?
It is going amazing, Carl. So happy to be here on the podcast.
Well, I have to say, we met at operations camp in Utah, and you are one of the most just excited, energetic. You know what it is? It's like you've never had a bad day, and I know that's not true, but you just expect great things, don't you?
Well, there's a lot of things that we can focus on in life, and I guess I just choose to focus on the stuff that makes me happy as much as I can.
Well, for everybody listening, so Marcel is the CEO and co-founder of Parakeeto. He's a speaker. He's a business coach. He may or may not be a Nick Jonas lookalike. I'm not sure on that one. And you know, the true teenage girls, my daughters, they were like, eh. But my wife was like, could be. I don't know. So, you know, you might have a generation thing there, but you might have, you know, you could always do appearances. It's just going to be for soccer moms. I hope you're cool with that.
Yeah, I just really hope Parakeeto does well enough that I don't have to resort to that.
Well, I'm sure it will. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, like how you got into this business and like right up to launching Parakeeto.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great question. So my first real professional job that was significant was working for Apple as what was called a solutions consultant. So really, I was working with some pretty big retailers like Best Buy, training the staff, making sure they had stock, and really just advising them on how to be more successful using Apple products. And honestly, when I got hired for that job, I was super unqualified for it. So it was a very big step forward in terms of my career. And after a few years of doing that, you know, big corporate job, it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, but I decided that I wanted to take a little bit of risk and try my hand at entrepreneurship, which is something that I'd always been really interested in. And after a few years of trying a few different things, I got a phone call from one of my mentors when I was kind of in between ideas. And he said, hey, I've got this guy, Jared, I think you know him. And I had met him actually a few years back in Toronto. He said he's got this really great idea for a product that every agency I've ever spoken to in my life needs. And I think you guys should talk. And so I got on the phone with Jared and he told me about what he wanted to build. And I said, you know, let me go and see if this thing has legs. And that's kind of how it came together. And so we started talking to agencies about their challenges and doing this process that we call customer development, where we basically get in touch with agencies and we ask them questions, but never tell them about what we're doing. So we get unbiased feedback about, you know, what their challenges are and what they're working on and what's holding them back from growing. And through that process, we discovered that, you know, what we were trying to build really was needed in the marketplace. And so shortly after December, I think we were January, we decided to go full time on this thing and make it a reality.
Now, I want to back up for just a second because you mentioned having a mentor.
Yeah.
And you mentioned having multiple mentors. Mm-hmm. Kind of. I think you kind of implied that. So help me with that. Like, how old are you? You're mid-20s?
I just turned 25 in May.
There you go. We'll call that mid. And how did you decide that you needed a mentor? Because I know when I was in my mid-20s, I didn't need nobody, right? I was totally wrong. But how do you open yourself up to the idea of a mentor?
Well, honestly, I think it all started when I got that job at Apple. That, you know, in my mind at that time, my first day was on my 20th birthday, and everybody else that I worked with was much older than me at the time. And so I was really biting off more than I could chew at the time. And through that process, you know, a lot of my coworkers, and I had really, really great bosses, and they really helped me raise my game so that I could perform in that job and eventually excel in that job. And I think that really opened my eyes up to how much opportunity we have as individuals, whether we're young or old or whatever, to go and access a lifetime of information that every single human being around us has. And as long as we're reaching out to those people that are doing the things that we'd like to be doing, we can fast track our personal development and our learning to such an extent. There's no faster way to learn, in my opinion, than connecting with mentors that have all of that information that you need to get to the next level.
Well, I mean, that is the best setup to talk about Bureau events I've ever heard of. Right, because that's all Bureau events, it's all it is like getting people together to talk that have done similar things. Now, so 5 years ago, you've got this job with Apple, going around explaining to other outlets like how to sell Apple products, and then today you're the co-founder CEO of Parakeeto, which is still not in full release, right?
No, we're still pre-product. And actually, I know we had this conversation in Utah, but we started doing some consulting around what our product does. So that's kind of what we're doing. The product's being built, and we're hoping to release it here soon. I'm getting very excited. I don't want to give anybody a date because it's not
that. No worries. I wouldn't want you to do that.
Keep your eyes peeled.
So here's one of my big questions. Now, you gave a tour of Parakeeto in Utah. Some people got really excited looking at it. For me, it feels like a crowded space.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Parakeeto is not in the mix of this, but give a basic overview of what Parakeeto does.
Yeah. So it's funny that you say this because it is in a lot of ways a crowded space. Like when people ask me who my competitors are, I just kind of laugh because almost every piece of software that an agency is using is a competitor, but is not a competitor at the same time. But the idea behind Parakeeto is basically to help agencies get data that they need in order to grow and be profitable. So what we found was that, and this is kind of the challenge that Jared was facing when he came up with the idea, was he had all of his time data in his time tracking software, and he'd have his financial information in his accounting software. And then he would have statements of work stored somewhere in a Google Drive, and he would have resource plans, and everything was scattered a little bit everywhere. And in order for him to get the information that he needed for things like what's our capacity, what's our utilization, how much money did we actually make on this last project, he had to build a whole bunch of spreadsheets. And when he looked at the solutions that existed out there was two major issues. I mean, the one major issue was he would have had to change his project management software in order to get any of that automated. And that was a big challenge because, as you probably know, project management software is one of the most subjective pieces of software that an agency can buy. You could have two identical agencies doing identical work, and they use two completely different systems for project management because it's just, some people like the UI, or maybe it's missing this feature, it's missing that feature. And the PM tool space, in my mind, is very inundated because of that. There's so much subjectivity around it.
It's so painful.
We immediately looked at that and said, there's no way that we can build the perfect PM tool. We know we can't do that. So what we want to do differently is automate this reporting for agencies, but not ask them to change some of those really fundamental tools that are in their stack. We'll just go and integrate with them and try to make it work that way.
So one of the things I know, I think it says this on the website, and when you and I have talked about it before, you talked about how it incorporates the main metrics that an agency is looking at, those key pieces of information. Mm-hmm. Does that not change from agency to agency? Isn't everybody looking at it a little bit differently? And how do you accommodate that?
Yeah. So that's a really great question. I think it does change from agency to agency, but the fundamentals are very, very consistent. And I got to give a shout out to Jody Grunden, who I know is also your boy. And I only met him once, but now I'm just going to use my hip hop slang and say that he is my boy as well.
I'm going to get a phone call.
He dropped
my name.
I think he's people on vacation right now. Yeah, hopefully he's listening. I just read, you know, his book, Digital Dollars and Cents. And for those of you that have not read that book, I would highly recommend that you read it. And, you know, he does a very good job of explaining it in there as well, that the fundamentals of the agency model, the fundamentals of any service business are all very, very similar, regardless of how you price. And the fundamental challenge with service businesses is that time is your largest variable cost. And it needs to be managed, and it needs to be managed well. And so everything that comes back to how many hours your employees actually have every year that they can work based on how much vacation they have and so on, how much of that time is being utilized for billable work, what the average amount of money you make every hour that they work is, and then basically how much money you're bringing in and how much you're spending. Those things, regardless of whether you're more focused on your NPS score or your internal culture happiness or, you know, how many leads you're getting for your Facebook ads clients, you know, that stuff is going to vary. And there's lots of great solutions out there to help with that. But those fundamental metrics, in my experience, are very consistent across service businesses of all kinds.
Now, when you shared Periquito, and you know, and even when we were talking before you did the demo, you know, one of the things that struck me, and please don't take this the wrong way, but you are just like a really nice guy. You super positive, all these types of things, and then out of nowhere, you'll say something about some formula or something that you read in a book that has got some sort of philosophical background or something, and it's just mind-blowing. No, seriously, it's like just not expecting it. And how did you get yourself so smart in this space? Because again, you know, 5 years, it's an amount of time, but you've only been focused on this for a few years, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, I'm fairly, if I'm being candid, I'm relatively new to the agency space specifically. I'm not that new to coaching. That's something that I've been doing for a long time, actually, since I was about 16 years old. It started in fitness. And then when I went with Apple, it became more business consulting. And then actually for a full year, I was speaking and coaching more on emotional intelligence and stuff like that to kind of fund this dream of building a software company. But I just want to make sure I understand the question correctly. Are you asking about my knowledge in the agency space or more on kind of the emotional culture? I just want to make sure I address the right side.
No, it's totally the agency space, and specifically understanding the way that the metrics and the underlying success of an agency.
Yeah. Because, great question.
Yeah. You pretty much are self-taught, right?
Yes. But again, it comes back to this mentorship piece. Like, I knew when I got into this space, the fastest way for me to learn as much as I could about this was to reach out to the top thought leaders in the space. So this is why you got an email from me last summer when I was just at the beginning, because I said, who knows the most about this? And I found you and Bureau. And I said, this guy must know a lot about agencies. He hangs out with them all the time and puts on these events. So I reached out and I did that with, you know, a whole bunch of thought leaders in the space. And then I spent hours every day on the phone with agency owners, asking them about what tools do you use and what does that process look like and where do you store that spreadsheet and what's your challenge and what have you done that worked. And it was really trial by fire, but it only took a few weeks for me to really start to grasp the lingo. And it's a snowball effect, as you know. It's like learning a language. All you need to do is learn a few words and then the pace accelerates at an exponential rate. And so, you know, a year in, now I'm able to actually go into an agency and actually consult with them on some of their sales process and their operations process and pull from the background that I had before I got into the space and couple it now with the knowledge that I acquired through actually speaking to experts in the space. And that's kind of, I guess, the process that I employed to do that.
You're annoying me right now because you're doing great things and you're just acting like it doesn't take anything to do it. No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously though. So had you ever, you'd never built a product before, right? You'd never architected a product or thought through a product. Tell me about the team. Like you'd mentioned Jared, and Jared's at Royal J, right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. And so he's run an agency. He's got a lot of that information. So he can be kind of an institutional knowledge person for you.
100%. Yeah.
And then had he ever built a product before?
So yeah, so Jared actually runs a software development agency. So he had built products for other clients, and he had done a few internal products as well at the agency. So he had some experience in this space. I have to just say, I lucked out big time on the people that I'm surrounded with in this venture from a technical perspective, and then also on the software side in terms of building a software business. Because Jared obviously runs a software development agency. He's got a great team there. He is my perfect customer. So, you know, we get a lot of the initial ideas for the product from the challenges that he faces on a day-to-day basis. And then we just go out and validate that against more agencies to make sure that our thinking is sound. And then on the business side, we have a mentor of mine, Dan Martell, who actually introduced me to Jared. And he's built and sold several companies. And so, you know, with those two people kind of in my corner, I couldn't ask for a better pair of people to go on this journey with.
Okay. So you've got a great start. You got a great team supporting you. What are the big challenges?
So the big challenge is that when we're building software, and you might know this from experience, it's a lot more complex than I thought. So, you know, I had a little bit of experience with software development in the past, but Jared really owns that piece. And what I'm discovering is that you don't really know how long it's going to take to build something until you start to build it. We had a lot of assumptions about how long it was going to take us to build Parakeeto. And, you know, it is taking longer than we thought, which I'm understanding now is completely normal part of the process. And in a way, it's good because we've had to make some pretty significant changes to the way that we're approaching the product after having a lot of conversations with agencies and understanding what they really need. And then with that, it really kind of delayed my trajectory in terms of when I could start selling product. So essentially, we started looking at our runway and saying, the product's going to be done pretty much at the same time that we're not going to be able to pay people to build it anymore. So big challenge for me was figuring out, okay, well, what can I do to create value for people in the meantime? That's also going to be, you know, a complementary to the product that we're building. And the answer to that was very clear to me. It was just to go and do consulting on all of the things that kind of surround the product. So these are things like understanding what your baseline KPIs are and setting up some systems to track those in the interim. And really just kind of the fundamentals that we're going to deal with in the software. There is still a bit of an education piece around that, which, you know, our goal is to do that through content marketing and try to educate our clients as they get onboarded and as they interact with our brand. But in the meantime, you know, there's tons of agencies that are struggling with this today, and they couldn't tell me, you know, how much money they're making per hour when they net it down, or they can't tell me if they're profitable on a project or not. And I can still help them today, and then use that to fund a product that hopefully will impact a whole bunch more people than I could ever do on my own.
So if I'm understanding correctly, and there's always a good chance I'm not, because that happens all the time, you're consulting to fund the ongoing work on Parakeeto. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. And honestly, that's what we should have done from day one. And I don't know why we didn't, but we're doing it now. To me, and I think this is for any of the agency owners or employees that are out there listening that are software curious, and I know there's a lot of them out there. You know, maybe you have dreams and aspirations of building a product out of your agency, and lots of agencies have been very successful doing that. To me, the fastest way to bootstrap and validate a software product, you know, we call this software as a service, is to first start the service and then build the software.
There you go. There you go. So when you share the product with people, like you did with us at Operations Camp, it feels super simple. And I know, you know, simple is hard, right? Is there anything when you're sharing it with, you know, potential customers that they push back on?
I mean, generally in the early days, we're just super strapped on, you know, we have a small team and we only have so many development hours that we can contribute to the product. And so in the early days, we can't integrate with every single tool on planet Earth. So, you know, that would be like, oh, I use this one-off tool over here. I'd love for it to integrate with that. But I think at a fundamental level, we don't get a whole lot of pushback on the basic concept of like, we're going to show you if you're making money or not and to help you understand, you know, what changes you need to make more money and keep your business afloat. But I would say that that's probably the main piece of pushback. And it's not even really pushback. It's just like, hey, I'd love it if you integrated with this. And I always kind of take it with a smile on my face. Like, I would love to do that. And I'll put it in the backlog. And maybe one day we will.
Is there any, do you do anything with Zapier or any type of tools like that?
I have to be careful about what I say on this topic because Jared and I have a lot of discussions about these things. But I mean, we're always evaluating. You know, what's the fastest way for us to add value to the product, you know, and value that's relevant to the person that we're trying to help. So we've certainly had discussions about things like Zapier and automate.io and all the different solutions that are out there. We'll again, I have to be careful, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But it's something that we're thinking about all the time. And it's, you know, our top priority when it comes to the product.
So we're coming up on time and I've got one more question for you.
Sure.
Value-based agencies.
Yes. Value-based.
Are you looking at them? Are you looking at them as prospective customers?
Absolutely. You know, I think value-based agencies and agencies that will just price on, you know, a fixed either monthly recurring or weekly recurring or however you want to do that.
Time and materials, yeah.
Yeah. So those agencies have probably the biggest need for what we're doing because their variable cost is always going to be their time, right? So you could tell somebody, hey, I'm going to do this project for you for $100,000 and you could do it and it costs you as an agency $10,000 or you could do it and it costs you $110,000. And we've heard stories on kind of both ends of that spectrum. I'm sure you have as well. So for those agencies, it's critically important to be measuring how much you're actually putting into your clients and how does that impact the economics of your business. So absolutely, we're looking at value-based agencies and really any agency that spends time on their clients, we can help them.
But if they're not tracking time, is that going to throw a wrench in everything?
Yeah. And I mean, this is maybe a little controversial, but in my mind, if you're not tracking time, you're not tracking your largest variable cost. I mean, how do you know how many clients you can service in a year? How do you know what your maximum revenue is in a year? How do you know, you know, there's a lot of things that you can't necessarily track if you're not tracking time. It's funny, I've had a lot of conversations like this, but to kind of answer that question, if you're not tracking time, then our product probably won't be able to help you a whole lot in the early days, but I would recommend that you do track time because it'll open up your eyes to a lot of the economic levers in your business that can have a huge impact on your business, on your pocketbook, and on your employees as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things that gets said around bureau tables a lot. Track your time, bill your value. You know, it's like, because if you don't have that metric and people are like, I don't know how to get people to do their timesheets. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know. I think it's cultural for sure. And it's a whole nother episode that we've probably already done 7 times. But it's just one of those things. I was curious if there is any way for somebody who's not tracking time, but that person's probably not going to want to see these metrics anyway.
Yeah. You know, I think that's cool. You know, if you want to run your agency that way and it works for you and you're happy and your team is happy, then all the power to you. I really think it just comes down to what your goal is as an agency owner or as an executive team. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I agree with you. It's very challenging to figure things out if you don't know where your time's going, when what you're selling. And I know you've said this in the past as well, like you're selling time no matter how you price it. You're always selling your time.
Yeah. Marcel, thank you so much for coming by and being on the briefing today. It was truly a pleasure, man.
Excited to be here. This is awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And before I go, I just want to tell everyone that's listening that hasn't been to a Bureau of Digital camp or summit, you got to be there because it's absolutely phenomenal. And thank you, Carl, for putting that together for everyone.
You are welcome. And you got to let us know when Parakeeto is about to take wing so that I can let the whole community know.
Absolutely will do. Thank you so much, Carl.
You got it. All right, everybody listening, we'll be back soon and we will talk to you then. All the best.